to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is player, Blackjack Hall of Fame member, casino advisor, wit and raconteur, Max Rubin. Max, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Oh, always glad to be back with you guys. Good to see you.
All right. Today we're going to be talking about what we saw at G2E, which is a gaming expo, happens annually here in Las Vegas. But before we get to G2E, we received a note from a listener at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com alerting us to a great promotion at the Downtown Grand if you have a Canadian passport and a room there. They will exchange up to $500 a day Canadian for $500 US. In terms of, I guess it's in free play. Currently, $500 Canadian is worth about $375. So this is a nice windfall for having a room there. Hardly a reason to make a special trip to Las Vegas, but if you're going to be here anyway and you have a Canadian passport, you should strongly consider getting a room at the Downtown Grand.
Well, it depends on how long you're going to stay, because if you stay at the Downtown Grand, they hit you with an $18 a day resort fee, and for that, regardless of the number of days you stay, you get two whole bottles of water.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I mean, if you were coming and you had a comp, then I would stay there. I mean, I don't know what they're charging for those rooms, but I certainly wouldn't, pay for a room there. Just to get that. I mean,
if the room cost you $50 and so you pay?
Well, I don't think you can get a room for $50 at the Downtown Grand.
I would think so. They're giving rooms away.
Are they? Really? Well,
They come pretty cheap sometime. If you're a table game player, you can pretty much forget it. They have shut down their pit, the main pit, laid off 72 dealers. They now have 6 games total. Count them. Thank you very much.
They just came out with this brand new advertising thing this week. We want gamblers, which, I mean, is a joke because that is not the way they were last week. So if that's true, something has changed radically in the last week. But I would say this. If I had a bunch of Canadian currency sitting in my drawer, which is not unreasonable, I would go down there and see if I could get it changed without a Canadian passport, without a hotel room. You know, I would certainly be trying to take advantage of the promo if I had some Canadian currency. Now, they may end up saying, no, you have to have a passport, you have to have a room, but I would certainly be trying to do it without that.
And we have mutual friends that some 20 years ago made their first fortune doing that in Reno, where virtually every casino would give you American dollars back for Canadian dollars, and all they would do is spend a week in town just trading those Canadian dollars for the Americans. And it was about, 80 cents?
No, I think it was around 93 cents or something like that.
But they made a lot of money.
Yeah. There was no limit on what you could do. So,
all right. Let's move on to another subject. Daily fantasy sports. If you watch football last weekend there, you'll find they're the heaviest advertisers. Officially, they are legal and not gambling. Ha ha. There's no doubt in any of our minds that it's indeed gambling, although there is a large amount of skill. Scandals are beginning to emerge, and there are calls for regulation and perhaps elimination of daily fantasy sports. The past weekend, one of the principals of DraftKings used what he thought was the best bet lineups from his own site, and he played them at FanDuel, the competitor, winning some $350,000. This is something that sounds worse than it actually is. Nobody knows for sure how many catches, yards, touchdowns, whatever Odell Beckham's really going to get before the games are actually played. The best players enter hundreds of different lineups. The fact that this guy won one time, no telling how many entries he had, doesn't tell us anything. But the fact that he's an executive for a competitor and might have what appears to be inside information really looks bad in the press. Max, Richard, do you think daily fantasy sports are going to survive?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about the guy. This guy apparently was quite a winning player already. So, yeah, he's getting the benefit of being able to look at how often players are being picked for lineups. If you have two players that will generate equal amounts of fantasy points at a similar cost, it's good information to know that this player, you know, 60% of the people are picking this player and only 40% are picking that player. So that's semi-valuable information, but nothing earth-shattering. To me, the thing I found more interesting is this guy used to work for Pinnacle Sports, which is the sharpest sports book there is. And apparently, a lot of these guys from the offshore books have moved into this fantasy business. So I found that more interesting, actually, than the whole insider trading
Well, what if the guy was out there, and we know several people that are destroying these sites, making a lot, and he took their picks, just like if you and I could get Billy Walter's picks. Now, he sees what those picks are from the sharps coming in. He says, I'm going to go put those at our competitors. Now, is that fair? Is that good?
No, that wouldn't be fair, but it doesn't appear that that's what happened. Actually, it appears that this guy is one of those sharps already. So, you know, but you're right. That would be, that would be insider information or whatever.
Well, it comes with a flavorful stench to it, and if we look back at the Unlawful Internet Gaming Act, there was a carve-out for fantasy sports. They had no idea this was going to happen, and the opportunists have taken a look at this. They're hemorrhaging money right now, supposedly paying out $75,000 a week. This is getting the attention.
$75 million.
$75 million a week. It's getting the attention of the suits in Washington. And we've got an election coming up. Let's say the Republicans own everything. You think they're going to allow this to continue? Not a chance.
Well, they did the smart thing, right? They paid off politicians to get the carve out in the first place. And now I think the politicians are saying, oh, wait a minute. You know, the price just went up, boys. We need a bigger – we need another slice, you know.
Well, it's too big right now. It has no oversight, no regulatory authority whatsoever, whereas online poker did to some extent, yet there was still a lot of scams. What is to keep either one of those sites having guys that are working for them past posting these games? You would never know. They could take a 1% rake. Nobody in the world would know this. The guy that's doing the programming could, if they're paying out $75 million a week, what's $750,000? It's not a drop in the bucket. Nobody's going to notice. But somebody's going to talk. It's going to come out. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to swindle one of these sites. And as soon as it does, here come the regulators.
Yeah.
Or the suits and badges, and they're going to shut it down. I really don't believe it's going to exist in 2 years, because this was not the intent of what they were doing when they said fantasy sports are okay, because it's a nice social thing that people just do with each other. They never envisioned daily gambling like it is. And a lot of people are going to get hurt by this.
Yeah. Well, the other problem is that if we talked on the show before, the games are not set up right, and all the money is going to the sharp players, and the square players are just going to get sick of losing their money so fast, and I think that's going to cause it to collapse in on itself, unless they find a way to change it and basically make more luck involved so that the square player has a better chance of actually winning some money
before the bad stories start.
Because there will
be some terrible stories surrounding this. The guys losing their house, their kids, the bankruptcies, everything else. It's simply going to happen. There's too much money out there now.
Yeah, the other problem is that the owners of the sites don't seem to care. It seems like they have their eyes set on an IPO or selling it out for a big payday. And they're just trying to hold up the house of cards until they can, you know, cash out their fortune. But, I don't know. I don't know how long it can last the way it is now.
Good stuff from both of you. Let's move on to something else. A legal case involving Sunset Station came up in the press again recently. 2011, two players were playing PyGal Progressive Poker, and one of them received five aces for a $3,200 payout. The casino arrested both players. They were in their 60s or 70s, not advantage players. Placed them in handcuffs, called the police.
Their wives were there, too. They had had dinner before the game.
Later, it was determined they had done nothing wrong and were released. The casino shift manager, who ordered them detained, lied repeatedly about his actions during the depositions. Eventually, this case was settled out of court, hopefully for a bunch. What do you make of this, Max?
Just the typical thing we see all the time when casinos take people that are mentally deficient and allow them to make decisions that cost them hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions, and they allow them to make these. Now, I will quote some of the testimony in this. This is the shift manager. And they said, so you were gone when security walked up. Yeah, I must have left and came back when they were. I seen security talking to two gentlemen, the two gentlemen that was involved over the next, over by the keynote department. That's a start. And then he lied through his teeth, said he watched this in slow motion. He goes up to the table, hugs them and says, you're under arrest. Testified that he never said anything about being under arrest. He never called anybody. So everybody in this case confessed that the other guy did it.
Right.
And there were six guys all pointing fingers at each other. And some of the wonderful things. Keep in mind, these are two senior citizens. Security said that we had to handcuff, that he had to handcuff him because he felt his safety was threatened when one of the plaintiffs said something to the other one.
Oh,
it gets worse. They are thereafter handcuffed to a bench and complain of tightness from the cuffs, which left marks because Emerson handcuffed to the bench because they were verbally moving.
What does that mean?
I have no idea, but they were doing it.
Wouldn't want anybody to be verbally moving.
No, you wouldn't. And it gets worse.
The other thing that happened was gaming was called. Gaming gets there, says no laws have been broken. Let them go. And they held them for another like 40 minutes
right,
or something.
They won't let them go.
Yeah.
They just hold him in the back with handcuffs on. They had to call the paramedics. The guys, old. Well, their blood pressure went up. They had chest pains. So would I. And even if I didn't, I might throw a Hollywood and hit the floor and have them haul me out in a stretcher. I'd be worth probably another $100K.
Well, you'd be salivating because you know this is going to be their 100 or two.
And oh, so yeah. I'd love that. I've been in a couple spots where I was just praying they would hit me, but they wouldn't.
That was awful. Poor guy. All right. So for whatever reason, now we're going to talk about G2E. G2E is an annual show here in Las Vegas. It is the biggest gaming show in the world. Happens in the fall. This year, I looked at the video poker games because these guys weren't going to look at those. They're gonna look at the table games and the booth babes. And then there was also some slot machine games of skill. So I'm going to start out on the machine games, but do it briefly. I talk about machine games every week, if any of you actually listen to the commercials. The companies that produce video poker games have all been bought or merged in the past few years. IGT remains the industry leader, but was recently purchased by an Italian company called GTech. The name IGT was retained, so it doesn't look like there was any change, but there was. WMS, formerly Williams, and Bally's are now under the name of Scientific Games. There are some brand new games, and they look very much like old IGT games. The best IGT games in recent years have been created by Action Gaming, also known as VideoPoker.com. The patent for triple play, five play, 10 play expired in the last year. So now Scientific Games have their own version of triple play, five play, and 10 play, with very slight differences. The Scientific Games have the standard names like Jack-O-Bet or Double Double Bonus, etc. And in most games, they increase the return on the 5-coin straight flush by 25. So usually from 250 to 275. This changes 9-6 Jack-O-Bet, for example, from 99.54 to 99.60. Not a lot, but if both machines are side by side, you tend to pick the higher one. I don't know if the games will survive. The initial triple play patent expired, but there were other patents and other trademarks, many of which have not expired. Whether IGT or Action will choose to defend these patents and trademarks is something I don't know, let alone whether or not their defense will be successful if they decide to do so. In the IGT booth itself, the best new games were VideoPoker.com. No surprise, they always are. Some of them have been released prior to the show and have been featured in the VideoPoker.com Game of the Week, such as Split Poker and Triple Wheel Poker, which I have spoken about in the commercials over the past several weeks. A new one, which I haven't spoken about yet, is called Super Hand Poker. 10 coins per line, looks like triple play. They actually deal you 3 complete hands, and you are paid on the deal for in certain stud combinations, like you would in double draw poker. Then the machine automatically chooses the best of the 3 hands, EV-wise, and selects it as your starting hand for game of triple play, which is played normally. The big advantage of the game is you do not have to learn a new strategy. If it is bonus poker, super hand poker, then you already know how to play bonus poker, then you know how to play this. You're playing better than average hands because it's the best of the 3 each time is the one you're playing, and playing the better hands is more fun. If you don't think they correctly chose the best hand, it's easy to switch, but I'm assured that they are. Now, there were some other games, and I'll talk about at the end if we have time, but let's shift the focus to table games. So, Max, again, ignoring the booth babes, what caught your eye in the table game area?
Not a whole lot. Saw a couple things that were interesting. One was with New Millennium, and they have come up with a method with which you can take a single table game and convert it into, let's say, Pigal poker to blackjack to three-card poker, whatever you want to do, just with the simple push of a button. And you can have it speak to you in Chinese or Spanish or whatever it may happen to be. And from the law of unintended consequences, gaming looked at it, said, we love this, however, because we have to keep track of each and every game, you have to have 3 separate drop boxes if you have 3 different games so that we can keep, yeah, isn't that great, so that we can have an accurate count and hold percentage on each game. So if you push that button, yes, you can go from blackjack to 3-card poker, but you have to do a count all of the chips, close out your blackjack game, open the 3-card poker game, but now you can play 3-card poker. And it moves, too. It's like a jumbotron on every table, and it's really quite clever. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it. Doesn't that – it sort of defeats the purpose of being able to quickly switch over to a different game.
Well, it does, and you worked in the business. I've worked in the business, and you know what's going to happen. And I've told them what's going to happen is that the floor supervisors are going to do everything they can to make sure this doesn't work because it's going to mean more work on their part. And, oh, right. My God, you know how they hate to make a fill. Well, just imagine having to take the count twice during their shift or something.
Well, and how are they going to accommodate the drop boxes?
They're going to have 3 paddles because you only take the drop every 24 hours. You don't take it every 8 hours like you used to. So there'll be 3 boxes next to each other, 3 paddles, and the money goes in box number 1, number 2, or number 3.
But then they won't know, they won't be able to tell which shift.
Don't care about that anyway anymore.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Many casinos just count 24 hours now. That's not necessary. That's something from days gone by. So that's not a big deal. But getting buy-in from the staff on the floor, because they don't care how much a casino makes. They work in the business because they're lazy and they're just going to stand – you know this.
Yeah, they're
going to stand in the pits, and anything that makes them do more work, they're going to try to figure out a way to make sure it doesn't work.
You know, I never understood the aversion to getting a fill. I mean, it's filling out a piece of paper. It's just not that hard.
And they go, oh, Jesus Christ, I got to make another fill. Yeah, it's really tough. Fill out this piece of paper. Oh, it's just amazing.
Sometimes hard to get them to write me a buffet comp, too.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the bosses can't do that anymore, right? I mean, nowadays, it used to be bosses could give you a comp, but now it all has to go through the players' club or through a host or, you know. I can't remember the last time I saw a pit boss actually give somebody a comp.
I've had one within the last 3 months.
Really? At what casino?
I would not call it a mainstream casino by any means. It was Railroad Pass. And
they got one guy there who's in charge of the whole place.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the slot club attendant had to have a dinner break or something. So the But and he was busy. He had six machines in the whole place. All right, Richard, did you see any table games?
To me, G2E is like being let into a candy store. And they say, we're going to let you look at all this great candy, and maybe some of it will be available at some casino you might walk into 6 months from now, but we're not going to tell you which one. So it's a little bit frustrating. There's just a ton of new side bets. I mean, just dozens of side bets. And I meant to bring some of the brochures, and I forgot them at home. But, you know, and the vast majority of them will be countable. And, you know, it'll give Shackelford tons of stuff to analyze if they actually make it to the casino floors. But, there's all this stuff. But and all of it, some of it looked really good for more advanced forms of advantage play for much bigger edges. The problem with side bets is the bets are all the limits are always so low. Right, so if the maximum bet on a side bet is $25, well, even if you can get 100% edge, you're only making $25 on that bet, and you know
per hand, but 50 bets an hour.
Well, yeah, but
that ends up.
But
I'll take that.
You're not going to have it. You're not going to have that edge on every hand. You're going to get it once every, you know, blue moon. So, but there were some games. You know, that looked like, gee, I'd like to find this game in a casino, but – and then I'd ask them, is this game placed anywhere yet? You know, well, no, not yet, but we're working on it, you know. So, so it's hard for me to get excited about any of it.
Another thing that was out there and you're seeing more and more of are the – we call them the rapid terminals, and LT Games has them. Scientific Games has them, and down at Barona, we've got the biggest pit in North America with those for one roulette game. But in Asia, they have stadiums, little stadiums that are tiered with up to 500 to 600 terminals in which you can bet on any of a dozen baccarat games. And people sit together, and you make your bets and say, okay, the streak on this game is there, so I can bet banker here. Where are the banker streaks? Where's this streak? Where's that streak? So Interblock has come out with some pretty clever new stuff. They've got a blackjack game, and it's a continuous shuffler, so who cares? They have the dice, but they have a baccarat game that has easy baccarat, that they deal 8 decks, and they do a ribbon spread on a game where you don't get to see the real ribbon spread, but they deal down to 14 cards, and they take the dragon bet. Now, if you take the dragon bet with 8 decks and there's only 14 cards left, all it takes is a +4 to have an edge on that. That's pretty strong. I'm not sure how long that's going to last.
I saw that game too. That's also the game. There was a baccarat game like that you're talking about that had a whole bunch of side bets on it. More than just the dragon bet.
Uh-huh.
And that game actually looked really interesting. There was something about where they turned one card face up. Yeah, this was it. It was a baccarat game where they turned the first card face up. And then you could decide whether you're betting on player or banker.
No way.
Yeah, well, but there were different payoff structures.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Ho.
I know how I'd bet if a 9 was up.
So you had to put up an ante. So the game is not as good as what you're thinking just from hearing that, but it actually had really great potential. So, but again, they said it was placed somewhere in Asia, but it wasn't here yet, and
well, the great thing about them, though, is they are this hybrid form of machine that only require a single dealer, if you will, or a dozen different live tables out there, which bring many people together rooting on the same event. So they create a social event on game on
they
machine
have this
games,
at the
which is very difficult. They do have it.
Yeah, they
and
have
the
four
same
tables.
Company, that's LT, and they're the ones that have hundreds and hundreds of games. They're in, I think, 6 casinos in Macau now, and they do it for all of Sheldon Adelson's. And anywhere they have empty space in a hallway, they'll put 8 units, and they just sit down there and play baccarat that's being played 500 yards away.
Right.
Because they can play, and they look at the video screens, and they're seeing these live games with live dealers.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clever, and it's coming to America. It's just taking a long time to get buy-in.
To get what?
Buy-in from the players.
Oh.
All right. There's a new type of game out called skill-based slot machines. Now, these are semi-approved in Nevada. The rules are mostly approved, but there's some still I's to dot and T's to cross. And New Jersey. Nowhere else. We saw 4, 5, 6, 7 different ones of these skill-based games. Max, which of these did you see that you liked, or any of them?
Well, the ones I saw that I liked that did what I've been saying for a dozen years is that slot machines, by their very nature, are for escape gamblers, people that don't want to be together. They're trying to reach the millennials and pull people back together. And the nanotech games were pretty clever because they have a shelf built around them, and up to 6 people can sit at those games. You can play against each other, 2 people playing against each other, but it's kind of like a mini craps table. And it's a Pac-Man-style game. It was really interesting because you can lay bets. You can bet, for example, $300 to win 20. Uh-huh. Or you can bet 20 to win 300. And the more you bet, the less the house edge is. So they start off with a 24% pay house edge because Jesus. The state will only allow 25. But if you bet up to $300, it goes down to 1%. And then this skill level kicks in. Now, they are telling you as you're there that the skilled player has a 113% payback. We both know that's BS. And then they proudly say, but it's good for the casinos, and they use the same line we've heard certain people that are even in the Blackjack Hall of Fame is they should let card counters play because it's good advertising. Well, that's a load of crap. If they put a game out on the floor that required skill that paid back 113%, the game would be gone in a week. We all know that, even if it's a Pac-Man-based game. Now, I didn't ask him if it's the same pattern on this Pac-Man game every time, because back in the day when Pac-Man was the game, like Ken Houston, for example, used to bet people that he could beat them blindfolded. Because it was just a pattern. It was always the same pattern. You could play by sound. I didn't ask him, do you run the same pattern every time? Because if they do. But what they have is based upon your skill in the previous games, they make it easier for you to win, supposedly. So I'm not sure if you're going to be able to play really lousy for a while and then load up on your bets and then come out after them. But you can, much like a table game, kind of a hybrid. If you want to win, let's say you need $50, you could bet $300 to win the 50, and you're the favorite to win that bet. It's kind of like betting show at the track on the best horse. When you lose, you're going to get gutted, but you're going to win most of the time. So you're allowed to do that. And then you can elect to have the skill or the non-skill element, and whichever one you have. You play the game, even if you're playing skill, and when the game's over, then a wheel spins, and you still have a shot at winning. But I don't believe that there's any chance they're going to have 113% payback based on skill. It just, you can't do that.
Yeah. Now, I saw a bunch of games. One of the things that I liked about them was they told you exactly what the payback was. And so the first one I gravitated to was kind of a Scrabble-based game. And, you know, your payback was based on how well you played Scrabble, basically. But you would play a word, and then it would spin a slot machine. And basically, the better your word was, the more you're going to win on the slot. But you still – the payback was anywhere from 92% to 95% and change. So you could never get good. But then, I mean, the other thing that's just mind-bogglingly stupid is if you're going to have a game based on Scrabble, then you're going to expect that people who play Scrabble are going to want to play it. And they didn't use a freaking Scrabble dictionary. So words that are legal words, the machine would not recognize. Now, that's just downright stupid.
I mean, even more stupid is I'm not going to play that game because you're going to be sitting next to me and you know what war your brother.
But we're not playing against each other.
Oh, it's just against the machine itself, and they don't have a dictionary.
The what?
And they don't have a dictionary.
Well, they have a dictionary. He said we used some dictionary. And I'm like,
Albanian?
Don't you understand that Scrabble players use a particular dictionary? I mean, but anyway, so those particular games I didn't see any potential in because all of them, the best payback was like 95%.
Well, these are truly 99%, and it shows with the payback. You can see them online at just Google Vegas 2047, and it'll take you there, and you can see all kinds of demos for their pinball machines, and they speak of those. Next one I looked
Wait. While we're on Nanotech, though, I want to talk about their pinball game. I thought that was great. It's within the Nanotech area.
Yes.
And there you can go up to like 123% and or down
supposedly,
to
supposedly, right.
But it's based on the history of the machine. So depending on how good or bad the first, you know, the last 10,000 players played, the game is looser or tighter. So there could be two games in the same casino. One is significantly looser than the other because the good players played the one on the right and the bad players played the one on the left.
So do we vulture the games and have spotters sitting nearby and watch people get whacked after hand after hand and then make the call and come in and say, this game has been had a bunch of lousy players and let's jump on it?
You know, or can you salt the game by, you know, playing for pennies and then jump in and play for hundreds? I mean,
well, which was my idea on where they said they look at your skill level. So same thing. You bet a dollar, dollar, dollar. And you're just a horrible player. Now you load up and you bet 300, 500, whatever it may be. Oh, all of a sudden,
yeah,
I'm not that bad player anymore. They may think I am because that's my card.
On the pinball, they said they were not checking the players' cards. So they were not tracking who was making the bets. It was they were looking at the history of the game since it's been placed there, not the bet. And they have a wheel that spins at the end, so you may win anyway, or even if you have a 99% chance of winning, you can lose. And but there's times where it gets to be 100% because your score is high enough, in which case the proper move is to stop playing and go ahead and spin the wheel, because otherwise you're hurting yourself in the future by making that score go up and
by
up
raising
and up.
the average.
But yeah, these strike me as games where 90% of the play is going to be done by 5% of the players, the ones who really think they like this game or they, you know, and they get good at it. So it's hard to see that the casino's making money on this.
I think at the beginning, it'll be these games will be really good opportunities for the players. You know, the smart players are going to figure out ways, like just the ideas that we're coming up with off the top of our head. The smart players are going to come up with ways to make money off these things, and I don't know how long they will last. You know?
Well, neither do I, and I asked them. They anticipate each game will take at least a minute, and that the minimum bet will be $10, and they anticipate that a lot of people are going to be betting $300 that they may have up by the clubs, all the rest, because it's going to be kind of like a table game. They'll have some minimum bets, and they said that those machines will – their best guess is they'll make about $5 a minute or $300 an hour, which is twice what the machines on the strip make right now.
Yeah, I think they're
in
out of
a
their
day,
minds.
They have no chance in the world of making that kind of money.
But now let me ask you this. If first of all, are you guys going to bring any of those machines down into Barona?
Not until my friends have finished whacking them all up here and we'll see how it works.
Well, hell no. No, but the other question is, if you work in, you know, the players' club area, how are you going to rate these machines?
How's your comp bucket going to work?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, are you a 24% comp bucket or are you a 1% comp bucket? Oh, now, how about your point multiplier if you're a 1% player?
Yeah.
Here they come. Bob would never do that, of course, if they had a 7 times points and they were paying back 99%, but some people might.
Never. All right, what other games did you
well,
like, Max?
Well, I went to Gamblet, and these guys are really onto something because they have 4-player games, and it's really clever technology, and they have one in which you can – it's called Grab Poker, and these cards shoot out, and you try to grab these cards as fast as you can and build a poker hand. And it looks like a real arcade area. And that part was really cool. but they have somebody that is doing drugs and probably peyote, doing something crazy, because these are their brands that they're really pushing. One was Smoothie Blast, and that's where you put a whole bunch of different fruits into a smoothie and mix them up, and then the different fruits that come back out are how you win. So that's flat out weird, but they will attract the vegans, which we know is a big, big gambling crowd. Another one, if you want to go to their site online, and that's just gamblitgaming.com, you can see their online game, and it's called Police Poochies versus Zombie Cats.
Police Poochies,
versus Zombie Cats.
That's not going to attract the
vegans.
It
is so stupid. It's just, it's insane. Now, who's going to go play this crap? It's stuff that's, I don't know, maybe 9-year-olds would go play. It's horrible. So their game suite is awful, but the technology's great, and it is pulling people together. It is creating a social environment.
Their booth was crowded with people, and yeah, lots of people in there playing those games.
Yeah. So yeah, it will work once they get somebody that knows how to design something. It's kind of like the Fremont Street Experience when they first came out. Whoever did that, did videos down there, you'd look at it and go, what the hell? They just spent $10 million. This is the worst crap I've ever seen. Well, kind of the same thing, but they'll get there. Next one was called Next Gaming with G2. It was pretty cool because you have a leaderboard, and you can move up the leaderboard, which is absolutely worthless unless you're a 14-year-old in an arcade. But they're pitching that if you move up that leaderboard, whomever might be the top 200 people, now they get to come back for a tournament of some sorts. Didn't much like that part. But the games look good. They had a shooter game, which is a blended skill and luck. And I kind of like that.
Right.
The shooter game was
fun. You know,
fun.
It's funny because when I was talking to this idea with my son, you know, his first comment was, you got to have a first-person shooter, right? Because
yep.
Every young person, that's what they're used to playing, Xbox, PlayStation, first-person shooters. So, yeah, they have a first-person shooter slot machine. Yeah,
it was good. Scientific games, you spin virtual wheels. When you get to the bonus round only, then you get to play Space Invaders. Pretty cool. Now, we go back to Ken Houston. I think he had the world's highest score at one time when he had the Space Invaders in his house. Is it truly skill? Because if it is, it's going to be certain people are going to annihilate it. And where I think they're missing the boat on this is me, as a 68-year-old man, if I know that they're going to pay back X and I see your son sitting there and shooting these things out of the sky and he's got fabulous hand-eye coordination and I'm a lumpy old guy, well, I know the casino can only pay back so much and I watch him, I'm not going to get close to one of those games.
Yeah, I don't
Where's
think
the
you
money
can
for
base
casinos
it.
Really come from? Old people with money and time on their hands and nothing else to do. Now, they want to attract your son, but so they have to do some things like this. But where are they really? He has no money yet. Where are they going to make money?
Right. Yeah. By the way, if I could just take us off topic for a bit here. One of the big things, I mean, the big topic of conversation besides skill gaming is attracting millennials. And Jeff Wang, or Wong, who was on our show, wrote an article for The Motley Fool basically saying that the problem with millennials is that they've been constantly raising the price of gambling by increasing the hold on everything. And the reason they're not gambling is because the games suck. They're you know, they've increased the hold on the slots. They've made blackjack worse. They're trying to make the other games worse. So what is your take on all that?
That they're completely out of their minds. And I know from personal experience, down in San Diego, we have the loosest – they have menus when you buy a slot machine. We have the loosest paybacks you can possibly have. We have the loosest loose blackjack, our three-card poker. We pay back 4-1 on a flush. Everybody else pays back 3-1. We own Southern California. We're the only casino in California now that pays back 4-1. So we have a 2.2% edge. They have a 7.5% edge on no play whatsoever. We have all the play. I think the casinos are missing the boat so far because they all want to gut everybody tonight instead of building a long-term business that's in the best interest of the stockholders, in the best interest of the industry and everything else. They want to gut you, and they need to gut you now. And that's what they're trying to do. But they're running the business out the door. Players feel it. They know the difference if you have reduced your payback 1 or 2%. And many people say, no, they can't tell.
That was Gary Loveman's big
that's
thing.
That's bull. They can't tell. You know, Bob.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well,
they
video
can feel
poker,
it.
You can see it on the pay schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And in the three-card poker, you can see the difference between the 4-to-1 and the 3-to-1.
Yeah. But a player who's the coveted player you want, that's the local, that makes 10 visits a month, after a month or two, they absolutely feel that. And they're not coming back because nobody likes to feel like a sucker, and they're treating people like suckers.
Huh? One of the games I thought was sort of interesting, IGT, they had a Texas T, which has been a slot machine title for a number of years, and you play this 10% hold slot machine, and every now and then you get the bonus round, and then in the bonus round you get to choose between some free games or play pinball. And the pinball game itself is kind of cool, but you got to play so much of slots at a 10% hold to qualify for this couple minutes of pinball.
But can you win money from the pinball?
Yeah, you can have the edge at the pinball, and so
but not enough to make up for what
well,
you've spent.
Apparently, you can keep theoretically you can keep the ball going forever. I mean, there is some skill in pinball, as we all know.
Yeah,
but it's a high price to get to the pinball game.
Well, it may work. I mean, Texas T, that doesn't mean much to kids. People have been around slots a long time, but if you look at the Wheel of Fortune. That has stood the test of time forever, and it was the first one that you got to the bonus round and the wheel would spin. It's still the most popular game out there on the floors around America, and those games are horrible. But people pay to get to that spin, and you see them, they're those in-cap games. They're 12%, 13%. I mean, they're all participation. They won't sell you one of those games, yet they're still very popular because they create that moment for you, and people are willing to pay for that. The other one IGT had that I thought was really kind of cool was that TMZ slot, and it's kind of a photo booth where you take a selfie, and then you're on the machine. So as the reels are spinning and you get to bonus rounds, you're it. So your picture is on there, and you're spinning around, and it was really pretty cool. And for the self-absorbed millennials, I think it's perfect. Look at me. I'm on a slot machine. Woohoo! Take a picture, right?
Right. They could take selfies of their selfie.
Of your selfie. It was pretty cool.
By the way,
smart.
With that Texas T pinball, if little old lady plays the game for 15 minutes and gets up and walk away and now you start, are you 1 minute away from getting your pinball game?
The pinball game, bonus rounds are random. And so,
so it's not like a buildup where you can see a meter.
No, it's not like a buildup.
Close to the
not wild cherries or whatever they used to call them. Cherry pie, right?
Yeah, you just don't know when it's going to happen.
Ah, okay.
So it's like it doesn't help. But the little lady, assuming she has some clue, will choose the free games because she gets full value for free games and let the younger folks play pinball. All right, so we got a couple more things to talk about on G2E, but before we do, let's talk about our sponsors. And my notes just went away. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, paying more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. The game of the month at South Point is called Spin, Swipe, and Win. The way it works is every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you play 300 points and you get to spin a virtual wheel. Prizes range, the worst prize is 2,500 points, which is worth $7.50. Top prize is $50 in free play. So these are decent percentages of 300 points. If you're locals, it's a nice small roller play. You're not going to fly across the country for something where the highest prize is $50 in free play. You don't get it that often. They do have a mystery gift you get periodically. The current mystery gift is a portable chair, where you, a chair you could use at the beach or something comes in a blue canvas bag. And so that's the mystery gift. Bonnie and I are currently waiting until they come up with the next mystery gift.
You're going to pass on that one?
We have some from before, and they're in the garage, and we're not real sure what we're going to do with them. So
eBay.
When we get our mystery gift, we're waiting for something else. And if they still have these at the end of the month, well, we'll get however many we've accumulated. We'll get 14 chairs or whatever it is. Bonnie's really looking forward to that. Free video poker class tomorrow is 96 double double bonus Ultimate X. This is the highest returning game in the casino. This is the game in the casino with the highest variance. I personally love Ultimate X. It is not for the faint of heart, but it is an intriguing game. At the Palms, every Friday, there's a drawing. 10 people earn a total of $10,000. Top prize equal to $3,000. You do not need to be there. You need to collect before midnight, or your prize goes into Never Never Land. Multiple drawing entries occur Friday during the afternoon and also during the evening. Every Saturday night, 7 to 10 in October, you get double points for video poker, 10 times points for slots. Single points are worth 0.25%. I'll let you do the math on the double points. PFP, play for price. There's currently Lowe's home improvement cards. So these gift cards may be earned and redeemed Monday through Friday up to $190 a day at a rate of 0.20%. You keep your points. Since the double points are on Saturdays, your points on those days do not count for the PFP awards. So you can choose to go for the PFP at a rate of 0.2 or the double points for 3 hours at a rate of 0.25. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. Sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month, $79.95 a year. This allows you to get corrections on most games. Quick Quads is the best place to get correction on Quick Quads, for example. This week's contest is 25 play Super Times Pay. Super Times Pay is a 6 coin per line game. Every approximately 15 hands, you get a multiplier before the deal, somewhere between 2x and 10x. And you play the game normally. If you know the regular strategy, you know it in Super Times Pay. It adds about 0.25% to the return. So if you have it on a 99.2 games, now it's 99.45. So excellent game for, and Super Times Pay is one of the more popular games they have out there. All right. Max, did you have any other games at G2E that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, nothing really jumped out at me. You see so much clutter and so much of, okay, why is that machine better than this machine? I can't get through the clutter. I don't know. You just see so many bright and sparkly things, and I'm not sure what's going to work or what isn't. And you hear the kind of the same stories. And when you try to get the real download from the people, they're so darn busy talking to all of their clients. And the vendors, they only have a few seconds for you to speak about it. So I didn't see anything that really struck me and said, woo, we have to have this thing.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is the people there, they just don't know anything. You know, they're salesmen.
Right.
They don't know anything about gambling.
Right.
I mean, they've been given some talking points about how to try to sell the game. But, you know, I thought that there was an opportunity there to have your picture taken on the Iron Throne from Game of Thrones, and they had a girl dressed up like Daenerys, and so that was kind of cool, but I don't know how the slot was. I'm into Game of Thrones right now.
One of our friends on the show, frequent guest, is Bob Nersessian. He was in the paper today. Apparently there's an interesting situation that happened at the Mirage. Max, did you hear anything about that?
I have been corresponding with Bob regarding that on Facebook, and evidently a kid came in to the One Oaks nightclub, 21st birthday, came to the place and said, hey, I want to come in. They said, you want the VIP treatment? No, thank you very much. And he went to his table, sat down. He had one drink. And they kept trying to upsell him to the VIP, said, no, thank you very much, sat with his friends. They came back over and said, the gentleman over there would like to meet you.
Yeah, he is a known actor.
And real good-looking kid. So he walks over and crosses that magic threshold in VIP land and says, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Walks back away. Now he's trying to leave, and they said, you owe us $1,000. He said, what? You are in the VIP area. He said, I'm not paying it. I'll pay the $164 that was my bill. You owe us $1,000. He said, I'm not paying it. And as he was walking out, he took his phone out to make sure he videoed it, and six people jumped him and beat him and handcuffed him and backroomed him and held him and held him and held him and then finally let him go, and he was injured. And they let him go, no charges, no anything, let him pay his $164 and said, yeah, too bad. So Bob Nersessian is representing this kid, and as I told Bob, this kid was very upset. And I said, within a few days, he's going to look back on his 21st birthday as probably the greatest night of his life, because how many days are you going to make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 on your birthday? And you know this kid's going to collect, because that is just so out of line. And I know and respect these people that run MGM Resorts. Those are some very bright people. But they still allow these, as we called in the, we were speaking about some other ones, these mentally deficient people to make these decisions and thump people, and without regard to what's going to happen to the company. And what's going to happen to the companies, this will cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing this. And the kid did nothing wrong. And they admit he didn't do anything wrong. Let's let him go. Sorry.
Yeah.
They'll be sorry.
It's as if these places give no training at all to the security people.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, you want a job? Here. Here's a badge. Yeah.
All right, Richard, we got about a minute to go. If people want to get copies of our show, how do they do it?
Well, first of all, we welcome your questions. So you can send those to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or at facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or you can tweet them to me at RWM21. If you want the show delivered to you automatically as you sleep every week, you can sign up at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or at my site, richardmunchkin.com, to get archives of every show that's ever been done, even when I wasn't on the show. You can find those at bobdancer.com.
And Max, again, you never disappoint us. It was a delight to have you here. Thank
Always
you very much.
Always fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Everybody, go out and hit lots of royal flushes. Good day.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.